Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful that we can stand because of that power. We're so thankful that, Lord, before the foundations of the world, you loved us. And, Lord, that you knew that you would send your Son to die for us. And, Lord, when we feel unworthy, when we feel unloved, God, I pray that we would be reminded of your great love, of your offer of forgiveness, of the reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and that we would know that you loved us first. And God, I pray this morning that that would change us, that that would refresh us, that, Lord, that that would inspire us to live for you, to take your word now and, Lord, to apply it and to put it to work in our lives. And we'll give you the thanks for it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed this morning for Kids Connect, a time in the Word together. And if you'll take your Bibles with me this morning here to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So we're going to take a pause from Exodus this week. And I want us to just look at this encouraging passage for us and have a challenge for us this morning in Matthew chapter 5. The light of the world. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to be known for by what we are against versus what we are for. And it's easier to be known sometimes in a negative light. And maybe you've experienced this as you are in the daily world and in the culture that surrounds us, that sometimes you are known more for, as a Christian, for things that they perceive you to be against rather than what are we for. And this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to see a challenge in something that Jesus was teaching his disciples that I think is very important for us to understand what we are for and what we have the opportunity to emit and the opportunity to show. And I want this to be an encouragement for us this morning in this text here in Matthew chapter 5. So look here with me, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Here we see Jesus at the beginning of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And what's interesting and what we need to keep in play with this context is this was Jesus giving a sermon to his followers. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 begins with seeing the great crowds of his disciples that were around him. He was up in these mountains and he sat down and he began to teach. I was encouraged by that this past week, you know, with all the back issues, and I'm using the table this week just to keep me some stability just in case. But it was encouraging to see that, yes, Jesus even sat down to teach, you know. But he sat down in this area, in this context, is geographically, this was known as the Horns of Hattin. It was kind of a series of hills, and it was really known for its acoustics. It was a place that resonated really well. And so Jesus is sitting down here and he's with his disciples. He's with his followers. And his followers are coming to him and he is beginning to teach them. And we see as he begins to teach them, he starts with encouragement. He starts with what we call the Beatitudes. These blessings, starting in verse 3, you see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he gives them encouragement through the Beatitudes. Even to those on down, as we see, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He is encouraging these that are coming to him. I tell you, it should be encouraging when we open up the Word of God for us. Here are the blessings. Then in verse 13, he inspires. You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt, and if the salt has lost its saltiness, then it's good for nothing. It's good to be basically like sand, to be trodden under. I want to inspire you. You have a preserving agent about you. You are the salt of the earth. You have a chance to make an impact. You should be ready to go to do something and not to lose your taste. And then in verse 14, we see he challenges us. You are the light of the world. A city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works, give glory to your Father who's in heaven. This morning, I want you to see two reasons of why God would want us to be lights. When we think about that, but why? Why would he want to use us? Why would he want to use us to be the salt? Why would he want to use us to be the light? Why would he want to use us as his ambassadors, as we see in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5? Why use us? You ever had that feeling? Why would God want to use me? I'm imperfect. I'm broken. I sit here this morning feeling so unworthy. I'm here because I need him. Why would he want to use me to do something so important as show somebody else the way to Jesus Christ? I mean, I'm going to slip up in my words. I'm not going to get everything right. I don't know all the little theologies. You ever had those mindsets? Why would he want to use me? You ever notice that when God wants to do something positive, we always focus on the negative? Didn't we see that in Moses? When God was wanting to use him, and then there at the burning bush, what did Moses keep coming up with? Yeah, but God, I can't speak well. God, I don't know who you are. I don't know what name to tell them. I don't have the power to do this. And he kept coming up with a negative after negative after negative. When God wants to use us and he wants to do something positive, it's very easy for us to think of the excuses and to focus negatively. I don't have the time to do this. I don't have the right words. I'm not living the right way, and I don't want to be called a hypocrite. And we start thinking of all these different aspects of why God shouldn't use us, but yet we are missing the positive that you are the light of the world. We're missing the positive that God wants to use you. Get that through our minds. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God wants to use you. He wants to use you in a mighty way. And I want you to see these two reasons of why God would want to use you to impact your house, to impact your community, to shine as your light. The first one is very simple. That God wants to use you, not because of who you are, because of what is in you. Because of what is in you. Notice in verse 16, he says that in the same way, just like a light that's been put on a stand to shine, to give off light, in that same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Your light that is on that stand, that is for everyone to see, here's the wonderful thing about it. It is to shine because it's not about what is you, it's about what's in you. And that is the Father. Let your light shine so that they might see these things that you do, not so that they say, wow, look at that person, but no, so that they see the Father through you. God wants to use you because of what is in you. Here we see this aspect of God wanting to use us and because of this light. And the opposite is where we see the tactics of the devil. Hold your place here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because when we think of the alternative to letting our light shine, I want you to see what that alternative really is. God wants to use us because He is at work inside of us, because it's Him that transforms us. It's His gospel. It's what Jesus Christ has done. And if it's not us shining our light, then we are dimming our light. And here's what that opposite looks like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, start in verse 1. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we have this light by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We shine, and He wants to use us because of Jesus Christ working in us. When we veil that, when we dim that, we are a part of that strategy of the God of this world. Because His strategy is, I want to blind them from that light. So think about the ways that He blinds. If He can distract, if He can get us off target, if He can get us away from grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, to think about all the ways that we are shameful and that, you know what, it's not going to work. It seems like I fail. It seems like I can't get it right. And if He can get us to dim the light because we aren't letting it shine, He is following the tactic, or we see the tactic of Satan trying to stop that light. You see, the brightness of our light doesn't come from us. It comes from Jesus in us. It comes from the work of the gospel. And there is no depth, there is no sin that Jesus cannot bring us out of. We see that all throughout Scripture, of God taking some of the what we would think is to be great sinners and using them mightily because of the grace of God. That is letting the light shine. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Of whom I'm one of the worst. Christ can save sinners. And when we let our light shine, the brightness is not because anything that we add to it. It's because we let the light of Jesus shine out of us. That there is a gospel story in us that shines brighter than us. That it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about His glory. It's about the fact that on that cross, Jesus and His blood, who lived righteously, who filled all of those commands so that He could die sinlessly for us, paid the price for my dirtiness, for my rottenness. He paid the price for where I didn't measure up, so that when my light shines, it's not about me, it's about what's in me. It's about Jesus Christ. Because that's why Paul said, we preach Christ in verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We are lights because of Christ that is dwelling in us, because of what He has done for us. If we dim that, if we put it under that bushel, if we don't put it on the lampstand, we are taking away the work of what Jesus Christ has done in us. We're taking away that impact, and we are giving a false message that the gospel is not good enough, when the gospel is good enough. When what Jesus is good enough. So we are lights, and God wants to use us because of the work that He has done in us. He wants to show it off, that gospel message. But we are also lights, and God wants to use us because of what's around us. Back there in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." In Florida, our home where I grew up in Lake Wales was on a hill. And we had a two-story red brick house on this hill. And it was built in the 40s, the 50s in that area. And for many in my class that I grew up with going to school, they thought it was an insane asylum. Maybe so. I don't know. You know, that's for people to judge, I guess. But it was because it was set on a hill. And as you drove out of town and you're going out, there was no missing it, because there it was, perched up on the hill. It was amazing because after, you know, several of the hurricanes that had gone through, a lot of the trees and a lot of the coverage and everything had gone. And so now when you come down the road, it's boom. It is right there. You can't miss that two-story red brick home on that hill. There's no missing it. This is the opportunity that we have as Christians, that we are a city on a hill. In other words, there's no missing it. When we try to blend in, when we try to come down off the hill, we are missing the purpose that God has to work through us. When we are trying to blend in, and when we're trying to not make waves, we are saying, "God, I know your plan is you want the city on a hill, but instead I just want to mingle." And we do not allow the light of the gospel to be transforming. The city is on a hill so that it can be a beacon, so that it can be a representation, so that we can show those around us what the gospel can do, of how it can change us. Our lights are meant to be seen. And if we go against that purpose, like in verse 15, people do not put a light on a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand. If we go against that purpose, we're always going to find that we are not fulfilling what God has desired for us to do. Then we see the emotional roller coaster, the ups, the downs, because we're not fulfilling what God has desired for us to do, to be that lamp on a light, or that lamp on a lampstand. He has put us on a candlestick to put us on display. Not, again, because of us, but because of what shines through us. That we are on a lampstand, that we are a city set on a hill, not because of our qualifications, not because we are walking around and saying, "I am more righteous than you, look at me." No, it's so that we can sit there and say, "This is how forgiven I've been. Look at Him. Look at the Father. Look at the glory that He can do in transformation." We are lights because of the darkness that is around us. Here is a very profound statement. Light was meant for dark places. And if we are to be lights, we were meant for today. We were meant for this culture. We were meant for this community. We were meant for this nation, for this world, to be that city set on a hill to say, this is what points to the gospel. This is what points to Jesus Christ. The blind do not lead the blind. We are to be the light, the brightness, the exposure, the beacon in that darkness. And the darkness of this world should be illuminated because of our presence. If we blend in, darkness is allowed to overcome. But we are to be set on a hill. I love the words of Daniel chapter 3, where it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." That we have an opportunity to be bright. That should be encouraging for some of you. That you have an opportunity to be bright just as well because of what goes on through us. When you don't feel bright, understand it's not my light. It's His light. It's what the gospel does inside of us. This world needs us to be on a lampstand. It needs us to be a city set on a hill. It needs us to show what the gospel can do in us. This week, I had an opportunity to sit down with a missionary from the Philippines to hear a little bit of his story. And as he was talking, he said, you know, growing up, one of the major commercial activities in his city was drug dealing and drug production. And he got into it at an early age. And so even by the time he was 16, he was heavy in it. He was addicted. He was selling. And people were looking to him for those drugs. He said, but there was someone that kept knocking on his door. They kept coming and telling him about Jesus. One day he came and he told him about this one that could save him from his sins and this one that could transform his life. And he said, there, I just began to bawl, just began to weep. And I knew that this addiction was not right. It was not right for what I was doing. And he came to Christ there on that day. The first one in his family. He said, you know, all those years that I was involved in that drug addiction, his family didn't say a word. But as soon as he became a Christian, it wasn't their religion. And they kicked him out. But you know what? He didn't stop. And this was the thing that was impressing upon me. He said, he went and lived with his preacher and began a process of discipleship. God got a hold of him. And he went to another neighboring town to begin a work and to begin a church. And through this whole process, you know what was amazing? His family was watching. So much so that his mom would send his younger brother to him because she began to see that I don't want him to go down the path that you were going down. And through him, his brother came to know Christ. Through him, his mom came to know Christ. Through him, his dad came to know Christ. And he began a church here in this small town. And it's really exciting to see where it's at today because he let the light shine. Our lights are to shine, and God wants to use us, not because of us, but because of what's in us and because of what's around us. You understand that God has you in a place to be a lampstand, to be a light, in your work, in your family, in your context, in your place, you have a chance to shine. Because if it's about us, if it's about shining to make ourselves look good, we're going to dim the light. We're going to put distractions into place. Why would he want to use me? I'm not perfect. And we're going to think of every reason why it doesn't work. I don't have the words. But when we understand that it's his message in us, it's the gospel that does the work, and that we were meant for the places that we are around to be that city as a beacon, as a place on a hill, then we understand that we let that light shine and he can do the works. Let your light shine so that they can see your works and glorify the Father. So how do we let it shine? First, clean the glass. Clean the glass. This isn't to make the light brighter. The gospel is bright enough. What we've got to do is let it shine. Clean the glass. Let more light through. Your light is the gospel story. It is what Jesus Christ has done through you. You are that light because of him. So let the light through. Don't shade it. Don't smudge it, but allow it to shine through you. Because you see, the world that is around us is not looking and is not changed by what makes you comfortable, by what makes you put at ease. The world has changed, and the world sees the difference around you by what changes you. When people are on a diet and you're watching, if they say that they're on a diet and nothing is happening, are you going to follow that diet? Are you going to inquire, hey, what are you doing to make it work? No. Who are you going to go to? The one where you see the diet's working. The one where you're seeing the change. The one where you're seeing that there's a difference. And I'm afraid too many times people aren't seeing our light. They aren't seeing the light of the gospel because we aren't living like it's doing a change in us. The glass is smudged. Clean the glass. Let the light shine through you. Secondly, be aware of your placement. You want to shine? Be aware that you were put in a very strategic place. You were put in a place to let your light shine. Don't allow the things around us, don't put the bushel, the covering over it, but allow and understand that this place, this area where God has me is a place to let my light be set on a candlestick, to be set on a stand so it can light the whole house, so it can light the surroundings. Be aware of where you're placed. And then cherish the beauty. Cherish the beauty of the light of Jesus Christ. The light of the world. It's through Christ that darkness was exposed. When light came into the world, it's through Christ that there is the beauty of reconciliation, that there is the beauty of forgiveness, of redemption, of knowing that our worst can't overtake his best. Through the light of the world, there is beauty. The gospel is Jesus' work. If the gospel and if what you call the gospel it has anything of what you do in it, it is not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that has taken away the sins of the world. And in that beauty, we have the chance to be light. We are a fixture and the light illuminates through the fixture. Every now and then I'll get stopped by watching these different little videos on these guys making different things. And I love watching them, you know, I'll see little videos on how they're turning things on wood lathes. Or here recently, I've seen these different things with these guys blowing glass. And there was a show on that, there was a competition of all these different glass makers and how they would blow glass. And I was watching this, and one of the competitions, they had to make a light fixture out of glass. So they spent, you know, how many, the 4 or 5 hours that they had to make this piece, to make this glass piece, this light fixture. And so they all had their visions, they all had their ideas, and they came, and it was just incredible how they could take these, you know, raw materials, and they could make all these different shapes, and, you know, by blowing different ways, and rolling, and smashing, and doing all these different things, they all came up with these really different fixtures. You know, in this room, we have a lot of different fixtures. Different sizes, different shapes, different stories, different backgrounds, different colors, different beauty in these fixtures. But what was incredible is when they took those fixtures and they put the light inside of it. And that's when the visions really became true. One of the artists made this lamp that was to be kind of a nightlight, and it had a cool, she sculpted a footprint, like a child's footprint, in the glass, and she used different types of glass to bring out different colors so a different transparency would happen. And when you put that light in that fixture, it was beautiful of how it radiated. You understand that we are lights of this world, not because of what we do, but because of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that shines through us and makes something beautiful. No matter the story, there's a tie that binds it all together, and that is that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but has everlasting life. That God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when His disciples were gathered around Him and wanting Him to teach, He said, "You are the light of the world because you can show people the glory of the Father through Jesus Christ." How are we shining this morning? How are we letting that light transform our fixture so that all that are in the house see how good the Father is? Shall we stand this morning? As we stand with our heads bowed, this morning I want you to be encouraged, but I also want us to be reminded that we have an opportunity with this gospel. We have an opportunity with what Jesus Christ has given to us to show people how great the love of God is. To clean up the glass a little bit, to understand where we're placed, and to let the beauty of the light change the fixture. How are you letting it shine this morning? How are you cherishing the beauty of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Are you putting it on a lampstand? Are you letting people see it? Are you trying to dim it? Dimming it is a strategy of Satan. If he can blind people to the light, this morning, don't let that strategy win. This morning, let's let the gospel be the gospel. Let's let Jesus be Jesus. And let's share that beauty through our lives. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to have this time of response. And this morning, if you need that beauty, if you need that light in your life, if there's never been a time where you have asked Jesus to forgive you, to be your Savior, to rescue you, this morning could be that time when that light could take hold in your life. And when we begin to sing, I'd love for you to meet me right down here so I can show you how to know Christ as your Savior. And if you know Christ as your Savior this morning, how is that light shining in you? What are others seeing on display from you? Because they're watching. Do they see the beauty of the gospel this morning? If not, what do you need to do to get it right? The altar is here, a place for you to let God work on you. However God is leading, I'll be right here. Let's let God have His way this morning. Our Father, I pray now that You would move and work in us. Help us, Lord, to not dim the light, but to set it on a lampstand, to let You shine through us. And we'll give You all the glory, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.